to Where Brains Meet Beauty, hosted by Jodi Katz, founder and creative director of Base Beauty Creative Agency.
Hi, Jodi. How are you?
Eleni, happy spring day to you.
Happy spring day. I was just in our Slack channel at Base Beauty, and I was reading some of your insights from the WWD CEO Summit. Please tell us more. How was this event?
It was amazing, as usual. It was in New York this year, so no travel for me. And I got to spend time with Mary, our client at Milani, and Don, our client at Borghese. And then, of course, I saw many of our podcast guests. And the theme was called the New Leadership Mandate, the issues, the innovators, the insights, and lots of learnings happened here.
Okay, give us some highlights. What was a favorite learning?
Okay, well, a fun element of it was Sarah Blakely was there, the founder of Spanx, and she listens to Universal Forces, and anyone who's ever had a conversation with me knows that I listen to Universal Forces. So she asked the question of the audience, where are you when your mind wanders? And she gave us all a minute to think about it, and then she said, then do more of that. Spend more time doing that. The bigger ideas will come, and I love that advice.
I love that. That's great. The blue sky thinking is so important for our clients, for our team, for everything that comes to life in the consumer space. I can see this when it turns into something that actually hits the community. It's really impactful.
Okay, on another topic, it was tariffs, pre-recession, economic uncertainty, whatever you want to call it. Talked a lot about what that the impact for the beauty and wellness industries would be. And of course, we are a category that is very vibrant and can really withstand a lot. But we have to be really creative about how we approach the consumer now, right? So maybe she's cutting back on investing in something that she had planned for. Let's say she loves to go camping and she was going to buy, you know, new gear, and that adds up. So if she's not going to buy the new gear now and just keep using her old tents and whatnot, how can we transport her? How can we be on an adventure with her through beauty? That might be a way to bridge that gap for now.
I love that. Yeah, that's so important because we have a massive consumer audience with purchasing power, and we get to talk to people in the beauty industry who are at all different stages and ages of their lives. They're going through all of these different topics. So we have a big platform to connect with them on these things. Okay, tell us about AI, this buzz topic, anything you learned there?
There was a great presentation by a college professor who studies AI and the operations of AI within large organizations. And she said, you know, if you don't get on this bus, you know, well, you better get on the bus, basically, because your company can experience 40% more efficiency if you actually, if your business runs through AI. There's a lot that she talked about that might have gone a little bit over my head, but it made me think about initiatives we're working on right now for our clients at Base Beauty, which is, you know, we use AI in our tools, our tech stack, as you know. But now we're teaching ourselves how to market to AI. Just like years ago, we learned how to market to Google, feed Google, SEO, right? Influencing search results. So now we need to do that same sort of approach, but now for an AI style. So how do we make sure that when you and a friend are searching what kind of, you know, glittery lip gloss should I wear tonight to match my outfit, that our clients' products are coming back in those results. So that's a process we're starting right now. We're on the front lines of it. And I am really excited to do that work.
Exciting. Okay, really awesome takeaways from WWD. Let's get into today's episode. Who do we have on the show?
So shout out to cousin Lauren Katz, who used to work at Base Beauty, for introducing me to Sonia. And we paired Sonia with Dr. Erin Nance. So two great guests at the beginning of their entrepreneurial journeys, but not at the beginning of their careers. So let's talk about Sonia first. She launched Verdois. This is a French wellness brand rooted in her family's five generations of mushroom farming heritage. So let that sink in. She had her own struggles with chronic skin irritation, redness, and dryness, and found solutions in mushrooms. So you'll hear about that. And then Dr. Erin Nance. So Dr. Erin Nance, so impressive. She's by training a orthopedic surgeon, but she's also just like a really famous TikToker doctor with her handle Little Miss Diagnosed.
Yes, she has an amazing TikTok. Definitely check it out. She also has a podcast, The Medical Detective. So she starts talking about the new platform that is launching in June. It's called Feel Better Health. And this is a broad network of knowledge and support in the palm of your hand. You can access it from your phone. It was really important to her. This came out of all of the different content she was producing, that people who are living with a chronic or complex illness really need a community. It's not just a nice to have, it's a must have. So we are really excited to see this community to come to life. And you can join the waitlist at feelbetter.health now.
So I want to add one more thing, Eleni. Our team is actually going to be on stage with Feel Better Health in the fall, presenting to doctors about how to be good creators. Mm-hmm. So we're partnering with Dr. Erin Nance and Feel Better to educate the next, you know, the next wave of Dr. Erin's.
So exciting. I love that. Sonia also sent us a promo code for anyone to try Verdois. It's BeautyBrains20 for 20% off your first order of clinical skincare powered by mushrooms at Verdois.com. Say we to healthier, juicier skincare with the Verdois effect. Links for Verdois and Feel Better Health will be in the episode description. Let's get into it. Let's hear more from Sonia Gaiz-Delapine and Dr. Erin Nance in episode 284.
Welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty. We're excited to have two amazing startup founders sitting with us today. This is Sonia Gaiz-Delapine, CEO and founder of Verdois. Hello, Sonia.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And Dr. Erin Nance, CEO and founder of Feel Better Health. And it doesn't say here, major TikTok star also.
Oh, thank you. It's my secret talent.
So we're going to dig into all of that in a minute, but we're going to go back in time like we do. We're a career journey show, and we're going to go back to childhood. So Sonia, you're 10 years old. What do you dream of being when you grow up?
I actually wanted to be a National Geographic photographer. Ooh. I was always really inspired, I think, by the outside world. And I think for me, it's definitely been a thread throughout my career and my personal life as well.
And did you have people around you who were supporting you in this dream?
Yes. I just loved photography and I loved animals and I just loved understanding nature and kind of understanding soil health. And that was really important to me. So I had my mom and my dad and I had a couple of cameras growing up that I loved. So it was fun.
And Erin, what was your dream?
Well, you know, on TikTok, I'm known as the medical storyteller, so everything comes with a story. But when I was 7, I was running downstairs, you know, trying to, grab something out of the basement, and I tripped over my nightgown, and I fell down the stairs and came back. I was like, this is not good.
Right? Oh, no.
And so my parents took me in from, I lived on Long Island. My dad worked at Lenox Hill Hospital. He was the hospital attorney. He's like, we're going to go to Lenox Hill. We go there. I'm waiting, I'm getting the x-rays, I'm all nervous, I'm crying, I've got this broken arm. And then a man in a tuxedo walks into the room. I'm like, what is going on? You know, I'm this little kid, I was like, what's going on? And he's like, Erin, I'm the bone doctor, I'm here to help you. And he puts a cast on, and I'm like, oh my God, like there's a celebrity doctor that I came. And what I didn't know is behind the scenes, my dad, you know, who worked at the hospital, had texted his friend who was an orthopedic surgeon. He was not on call that night. He was at the opera with his wife.
Aww.
And he came, he left the opera to come and take care of me. And since that day, I've always wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon, which is I am currently.
I'm like getting a little misty-eyed in this story. That is so sweet. So, you know, it's very rare actually that people sit in these chairs and talk about the dreams that they had when they were 10 and that they actually fulfill them. So I'd say you're probably one of very few. We often have dreams that become subtle realities, right? Like people want to be performers and then they become the CEO and they are essentially on stage. So why do you think that this is actually a thread that you're able to pull through to reality?
Well, number one, I'm very stubborn. And when you put it out there in the universe that you want to be an orthopedic surgeon, it's like, well, that's what I'm going to be. And I also have to say that people ask me all the time, you know, oh my God, how hard is it to become an orthopedic surgeon? And I go, it's kind of easy. Actually, the path is laid out very clearly, okay? You take these classes in college. You take the MCAT. You apply to medical school. You go to medical school. You apply to orthopedic surgery residency. You become an orthopedic surgeon, right? I have found that my path to becoming a founder has been wildly more challenging and difficult than doing something that has this defined path for you.
Very interesting. I never thought about it that way, right? So there's the hard in the how do I get there? And then there's the hard as to how, you know, what does it take to apply myself in said situation? So let's talk about what you're all doing. You just recently launched Verdois.
Yes.
Verdois, I want to pronounce it right. What does Verdois mean?
So it's actually a form of the verb verdant, which means lush, growth, etc. But it's kind of the French version, if you will, which was really inspiring to me back to kind of going back to that nature experience and understanding the natural world and so forth. So it was really important to me.
And Verdois has a family history, right?
Yes.
So your family is from France.
Yes.
And what were they doing 5 generations ago?
So my great, great, great great-grandfather was actually a cultivator of mushrooms in Paris in the catacombs in the late 1860s, which is actually incredible because it was an incredible way to do urban regenerative agriculture at the time, which a lot of people, you know, including, you know, mushrooms don't need that many resources to grow. They don't need, you know, they're minimal water and land. And so it was a really great example of having nutrient-dense agricultural crops at their disposal. And so that was really special. So my family's always grown up with mushrooms as a functional health benefit internally and then also a little bit topically as well, which led me to building Verdois.
And when did you launch Verdois?
January 27th of this year.
Oh, my God, that's very new.
Yeah, super exciting.
So a little backstory. Sonia and I know each other through my husband's cousin, Jason. My husband's cousin, Jason, is best friends with your partner. But cousin Lauren, Jason's sister, is the person who actually introduced us to each other because cousin Lauren is also in the beauty industry. So, yes. And then we got to meet each other, and I love that we're at the beginning of your journey here together.
Thank you. It's very cool. I'm so excited. It's been a whirlwind, and it's honestly less stressful after launching. So it's just been so much fun to be able to share it and, you know, be able to have people use it and customer feedback. And so we have a topical and an ingestible. So.
And Erin, so we have a long career as a leading orthopedic surgeon. When did the TikTok hustle start for you?
So I started TikTok in 2022, I believe. I came down with long COVID and I had to significantly scale back my practice. I started my own practice the day after, you know, after I graduated. I literally hung my shingle, right? Mm-hmm. And that is just something that doctors do not do anymore. I actually graduated with 750 other orthopedic surgeons, and I was the only person to start my own practice. So when you have your own practice, it's just you, right? You don't have other residents or other partners to, you know, pick up the slack. And so I was only seeing patients about 1 to 2 days a week, and I just kind of thought it was a shame that I held on to all of this knowledge and all of this education and advice, and I was only sharing it with 10 people a week. So I had a first channel called The Hand Doctor, and I, you know, a day in the life of a hand surgeon, and that channel was actually very, very successful, and I learned how to create, you know, viral videos. And then one day I got a DM out of the blue, and it was this woman, the title was Desperate. And I said, like, okay, let me check it out. And it said, you know, Dear Dr. Nance, I don't normally talk to strangers on the internet, but I'm desperate. I have had 10 years of severe fingernail pain and nobody believes me. I've been to 5 doctors. They tell me nothing's wrong. They make me feel like I'm crazy. But I swear if I just brush my finger on something, I will jump to the ceiling. Do you have any idea what this could be? Thank you. So I responded back, you know, Dear Desperate, I also don't normally talk to strangers on the internet, but out of curiosity, do you have a little blue dot under your fingernail? And within seconds, she goes, I do have a little blue dot under my fingernail. So I told her, listen, you're going to ask your doctor to get an MRI of your finger. It's going to show you have a mass called a glomus tumor, right? You're going to see a hand surgeon, they're going to take it out, and you're going to be cured immediately. Mm-hmm. So 6 weeks go by, and I get another DM. This one titled OMG. And she goes, oh, Dr. Nance, I got the MRI. It showed I had a mass. I went to the surgeon. He took it out. It was a glomus tumor. I'm totally better. You know, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so what this woman did not know is that if you go onto Google and you type in PubMed and you put in glomus tumor, my name comes up, or my maiden name, Erin McDermott, because I'm one of the world's experts on glomus tumors.
Oh, my God.
Okay? But that woman did not know that when she texted me. And she was just looking for someone who would believe her. Mm-hmm. Because if someone believed her, then someone could help her. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I thought, why did it take this woman 10 years to get an answer when I knew it in 3 seconds? Mm-hmm. Right? And so that was the start of Little Misdiagnosed, which is my TikTok handle. And I started sharing stories of my own stories about interesting cases and residency. That's actually my book is now coming out about that. But what was going on was that I was getting, I'm not exaggerating, tens of thousands of messages from women asking me to share their stories about being misdiagnosed so that one person wouldn't have to go through what they went through. And that's really the beginning of what when Feel Better started.
Wow. Okay. So what beautiful harmony and like the good side of social media like shining through here, right? We talk a lot about the negative, but what a beautiful thing that she was able to find you and be brave enough to ask that question.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the reasons why I know this platform will work is because if anyone has ever, you know, been in the hospital and you have a note, you know, the doctors do the notes, it's a system called Epic. Epic is in every hospital basically around the world. They have a monopoly, actually, of electronic health records. And they've been around since, I believe, like the 1980s. And they released a study. And I have never, ever heard of Epic releasing a study, ever. And the study was they felt compelled to release these findings because the population of adult women who were diagnosed with ADHD had doubled in 2 years, which is an absolutely insane statistic for a disease that's been around for a very long time. And they directly attributed it to social media. Mm. And for the first time, the conversation was not social media so bad for your health, social media so brain rot, right? Social media, this and that. It was women saw themselves in other women sharing their story about being diagnosed with ADHD. They went to their doctor and said, hey, I have X, Y, and Z. Do you think I could also have ADHD? And they were diagnosed.
Wow.
They were given therapy. And the overwhelming feeling was relief. Right? They're like, my whole life, I thought I had this moral failing. Mm-hmm. Or, something was wrong, but I could never figure out why. And I believe that that can be replicated for every disease process.
Wow. Incredible.
Well, we're going to get back to that. We know you started right out of medical school seeing patients. What was your first job, Sonia?
My first job was actually in ad tech at NBC Universal. So I certainly pivoted away from ad tech. I was debugging ad servers. So I certainly have a more process-oriented background, but that thread of nature and also just being inspired about the natural world was always there for me. But I loved media, but I was like, hey, wait a second. I don't think I want to spend all my time debugging ad servers. This doesn't really tickle my fancy. And then I ended up having I worked in media a little bit in Paris, and then I ended up having an omni-channel sales management startup as well. That was prior to my kind of love where I took some time off finally and decided I wanted to work in perfumery. So I worked in perfumery prior to my experience now building Bearjaw. But I certainly have a path that's less linear than Erin. But yeah, it's interesting how that all happens.
So you told us that you actually had a chronic skin irritation, skin redness. So what was your kind of personal journey on the side in solving this as you were going through your career?
I think for me, I realized like stress affected me in a lot of different ways, and especially living and working in New York. I live in Paris now. I love New York. I come back and forth all the time. It's great for meetings and for a couple weeks on end, but to live is just wasn't really for me. But what I realized is stress really affected me in so many different ways, specifically around my gut health. And also at this time, I developed Hashimoto, which is an autoimmune disorder. And I realized that a lot of stress showed up also on my face. So when I'm stressed, my skin is too. And I was realizing I would have, either dry patches or redness or a blemish, and it wasn't necessarily related to, okay, I need to change my routine because I have acne skin. That's not what it was. It was like, okay, we need to get to the root cause of what stressed skin is. And so, yeah, that was just really the start of my kind of healing journey, which was quite intuitive, I think, but it was just really important to me to figure out what was, how I could basically release stress in a different way and what worked for me.
So Erin talked about using social media as a way for people to find help and guidance. What did you turn to figure out what this diagnosis is?
Yeah, I think I talked to quite a few naturopaths. That was a kind of in France, it's certainly a little bit more common, I think, and integrative health doctors, which obviously, you know, exist here in the US, but it was more also, you know, I think social media is really important. I learned so much on TikTok as well. I mean, TikTok wasn't really, you know, as popular as it is now when I was kind of going through that journey, but I feel like just trying to understand, and I think it's very intuitive as well, and trying to understand, you know, a lot of women have Hashimoto. It's obviously also a lot of infertile women as well realize that they have Hashimoto later, or, you know, a delayed thyroid. So for me, it was just really, you know, discussing with my community, understanding also that, you know, I feel better when I eat whole foods. You know, I get, you know, my lymph nodes start swelling when I have too many Cheez-Its, but I love them. But so I'll definitely go ham for them. But it was just intuitive and trying to understand through different books and learnings. But it took a long time. I mean, it took 10 years in all transparency. Mm-hmm. So
Erin, I want to go back to this timeline of you leaving medical school and then saying, okay, I'm going to be a solo practitioner. I'm not going to join a big group. And this is a very kind of solo, potentially lonely path. Why do you think that appealed to you?
So I will tell you that I didn't even know that path was a possibility mm-hmm. for me. And I have told this story before, but I was fired before I was hired. So when I was fellow, and how, if people don't know the pathway to becoming a doctor, you go to medical school, then you apply to a residency in your field of choice, and then most people will do a hyper-specialized year called a fellowship, and then you become a practicing physician. And when I, you know, I had a couple of job offers fall through, or, you know, just wasn't the right timing, but finally I landed on a job that they actually created the position for me, and they, you know, I met with the CEO of the hospital. I met with the chairman of the orthopedics department. And when, you know, they handshake, you know, congratulations, you're hired, they sent me the contract. And the contract was only like 2 pages. And I'm like, what is this even? Like, it doesn't say how many days I'm in clinic, how many days am I on call, is there a maternity leave policy, nothing. And as I mentioned before, my father's a healthcare attorney. So I said, like, well, what do you think about this? And he said, listen, if you don't bring up any of these points now and you sign this contract, you will not have any leg to stand on if you want to complain about something later. So I went back to HR and I said, hey, you know, thanks for sending over the contract. I just have 2 points I'd like to, you know, talk about. I go, one, the salary is $100,000 less than what the chairman told me in the interview. Okay. And number two, there's absolutely no, you know, call requirements in this contract. And I'd like to have in writing that I will take on call an average of 1 week a month, mm-hmm. Which coming from my prior institution, the attendings were taking call 1 week every 2 months. So mm-hmm. I wasn't asking for something that was, you know, unusual. So then a couple of days go by, I get a call from HR. I said, oh, did you get, you know, my comments? She said, yes, like, we got the comments and just wanted to let you know that the position no longer exists. And I said, the position no longer exists? Or you just hired me 2 days ago. What do you mean the position no longer exists? And that was it. They just, and I was left to graduate on stage, mm-hmm. 39.5 days pregnant, with no job. And I, you know, gave birth to an amazingly healthy baby girl. But when I look back on that time, I was just really depressed and, you know, putting all of my worth into the job, mm-hmm. right? Or the job that I didn't have. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't even enjoy. I had just had this beautiful baby, super healthy, you know, and everyone would say, enjoy this time with your baby. Enjoy this time. I go, enjoy this time. I'm the most overqualified unemployed person in the world. I go, how am I supposed to enjoy this time? And then I had a colleague come over and he goes, you're in a great spot. I go, a great spot. What are you talking about? I go, I have no prospects. There's nothing. There's no job openings. He goes, you could start your own practice. I said, no. I go, no, no one does that anymore. I don't know anyone who does that. And he goes, yeah, you could, you know, you could sublease space. You can, you know, malpractice is 50% off the first year. And the more and more I thought about it, I was like, why wouldn't I start my own practice? Why wouldn't I start something where I have the control for how I want to see patients, mm-hmm. how long I want to see patients for, what types of patients I want to see? And so I just kind of did it. And all of these people would come up to me and say, you're so brave. Mm-hmm. You're so brave for doing this. And I had no idea what they were talking about. I was just doing it, right? There was no time to reflect and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so brave. But now when I look back, I think, oh my gosh, yes, I signed these, you know, like multi-year lease contracts. You have to prepay your malpractice. So before you see any patients, I had to pay $100,000, right? And when you're a doctor, you actually can't get a business loan when you come out because you have no job history, even though you've been working for 6 to 7 years. Being fired from that hospital was the best thing that ever happened to me. But in the moment, it's so hard, and it's so hard to recover from that. But like everything that I've learned, you know, resilience and reinventing yourself, that's what matters.
What a gift that circumstance was. HR usually messes up a lot of things, right? And creates a lot of opportunities for people. I was fired by HR probably a few times, and it led me here. So Sonia, let's talk about the lonely road for you, right? You've moved out of the ad tech space that you probably had a lot of friends and colleagues in, and decided I'm just going to jump into this world of supplementation and topical skincare on your own. So tell us how you adjusted to that path.
I think I worked in perfumery for 4 years before, and for me, there's a lot of camaraderie in that experience. I worked for a company called DSM Firmenich, and we create fragrances for other brands, and so, you know, in different types of formats, and it was just really exciting to me. And although I loved that experience, I think the mushrooms were always calling me, and I think...
What do they sound like when they're calling?
They're whispering, come over here. And I was always just intrigued throughout my journey when I was doing a lot of research around integrative health and understanding a little bit more from my naturopath about these incredible organisms and, you know, the benefits that they have both topically and from an ingestible perspective, and then obviously the effect that they have on your skin and the benefits that each of the different mushrooms might have. I think for me, when I was deciding to leave perfumery, I cried when I quit my job, to be honest. You know, my boss was like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And I was really, I loved the industry, and I'm still quite close with a lot of colleagues. I had lunch with one yesterday. So, but for me, I think it was lonely at the beginning. I think deciding to leave a job, I think, is hard also. And I have a fun fact I've never told anyone. I actually didn't tell my parents I quit my job for a year. So, I mean, I hope, you know, we'll see if they're listening, but I didn't tell them I quit for a year. Because I was building it. Yeah.
The whole time they're like, how's work going, honey?
I omitted. I didn't lie straight out. They knew I was building Verdois on the side. I was just speaking with mycologists, understanding how mushrooms are grown, the benefits, speaking with dermatologists and herbalists, and just really following the proverbial mycelial thread. Like, I was doing that while I was working from an exploratory perspective. But when I quit, I was like, oh my God, they're going to kill me. Like, you don't walk away from this job I loved. Like, that's crazy. And then I think a lot of pressure. So when I say I launched and I'm less stressed, it's also because they know I launched and that I'm not working full time still.
Isn't it amazing how much even as adults, like, are the parent voice
totally
in our head?
Yeah.
I married the person that I dated in high school, and we had broken up, I don't know, a zillion times in between meeting each other and getting married, but we found each other again on Match.com in like the infancy of the internet.
Wow.
So this is like when, like, you were, if you were on these sites, you were probably gonna like get murdered, right? It was like, you know, the wild west of dating. And I never told my parents that we reconnected with each other on the app, and they found out at my wedding.
Oh my gosh, that's actually
in
so
the toast.
Cute.
Yeah, exactly.
In the toast. That's so funny. I know. There's always that little, you know, in the back of your head. And my parents are, you know, such hard workers. They've always worked. Like, they don't understand that I would like leave to become an entrepreneur and or just try to build my own company. I think also building Verdois, I'm really lucky. I've had amazing collaborators, and I quit, and then I worked full time for a year, and then I launched, which I'm just really grateful for too. So, you know, people ask me, because I have different office spaces that I work from, or I work from home, but I work with such amazing people and collaborators. Like, it doesn't feel, there are certainly lonely parts to it, but I think it's exciting for me. I've always been pretty independent. I love the corporate world, but, you know, I prefer working in the style that I'm working now. And it just works for me. And our tiny team is amazing. I couldn't do it without them. So I'm not totally alone. And so it makes it all worthwhile.
Well, try telling your parents you pivoted from orthopedic surgery to TikTok.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah. They're like, what's TikTok? My mom was like, what are you doing?
And I said, actually, I was talking to someone earlier how now, you know, I'm not just on TikTok, but I have a media company.
Right.
And it's a lot more validating when I tell people, well, I'm the co-host of a Spotify Top 100 podcast. And you're like, oh, you know, but I'm like, I've got a million people following me every day on TikTok. But no, they're much more interested
it's
in
also
hearing
funny
about the podcast.
When you say TikTok, like when I tell people I've been on TikTok to learn stuff, I'm like, oh, I saw it on the internet. You know, I'm like, but it depends.
So let's talk about Feel Better, because this is, we went from putting out your shingle to being a TikTok star now with Feel Better. What is Feel Better all about?
So Feel Better is the first AI-enabled social media network for health. So it is an intentional place for people to get credible health information, because the number one thing that people were concerned about was misinformation when it comes to health. I think there's incredible education that's going on these platforms like TikTok and Instagram and Facebook, but at the end of the day, those platforms were never made for sharing health information, mm-hmm. right? And we see it all the time, especially in women's companies, that they are unfairly being censored or shadow banned because they are talking about topics that are off limits for these mm-hmm. platforms. So, you know, I understand that Facebook may want to put guardrails for a 50-year-old man talking about a vagina. But for a gynecologist talking about a product that will help your, you know, vaginal biome, you know, I don't know if they don't know the difference or they don't care to mm-hmm. know the difference between those two, you know, conversations. And so that's why I really felt compelled to build this space as a safe and trusted place for people to get credible health information.
And when does it go live?
It goes live June 20th.
Ooh, that's really soon. And you said there's a book.
Yes. So about 1 month into starting Little Misdiagnosed, I got an email from a ghostwriter, and they said, hey, I could get you a book. Have you ever thought about writing a book? And I said, no, I've never thought about writing a book. They go, well, I'm sure you have a lot of literary friends. I go, I don't have literary friends, but I do have one. So I emailed her and I said, is this a thing, right? Like ghostwriters like write books? And she goes, yeah, that is a thing, but you're a storyteller. Like you already have the content. You don't need a ghostwriter. And so she said, let me put some feelers out. And within a day, I had three literary agents and I interviewed them. And we worked on a book proposal, which I don't know if anyone knows anything about publishing, but if you write a nonfiction book, you make a proposal first. You don't write the book first. So we worked on this proposal all throughout the summer. And then in October of 2023, I think, I put out a series called The 31 for 31 Most Commonly Misdiagnosed Conditions in Women. And that series, I think, was viewed over 50 million times
wow.
in a month. And so I said, guys, we got to go out with the book today. I was getting all this press and everything. So I ended up going with Day Street from HarperCollins. They specialize in celebrity memoirs, or doctor of celebrities on TikTok, maybe we'll say. And it is a memoir from my time in residency. Mm. So all of those stories of what it was like being the only girl, you know, an ortho. I had my brother had a tragic accident my first day of work.
Hey.
That's kind of what kicks off the story. And as I reflect back on like what the book has meant writing it, is I think it's really meant to strengthen the trust that the public has in doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Because even our previous guests, mm-hmm. we were talking about kind of re-educating doctors. And I think that as the younger and younger generations come through, the trust is not given, right? The trust is earned.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some physicians who are having a difficult time with that type of reframing. And we talked about this earlier, Sonia. I feel that there is a much larger shift from patient to healthcare consumer,
mm-hmm.
and that more people are looking to take control of their health and utilize their physicians like in conjunction with, mm-hmm. and not just, you know, saying like blindly believing mm-hmm. what they have to say. So I really want, you know, this book and Feel Better to be kind of that bridge where it's not, you're not getting the care, mm-hmm. but you're getting the information that's then going to empower you to have better conversations mm-hmm. with your doctor.
I want to come back to this topic, but we talked about books. I'm curious, Sonia, have there been wellness books or business books that you turn to when you just like need a little inspiration?
Yeah. And I wish I had that platform. I think that's incredible too, because to reply back to that, I feel like that's just, it's so necessary for a lot of people. But I loved a book called Thyroid Power. It kind of launched a little bit of my intuitive exploration of better aligning my body and my mind. I thought that was really an incredible book to just understand and learn. And meditation took a really big kind of role in my life at that time. I go once a year to Plum Village with Tiny Khan, who's an incredible Zen Buddhist leader. He was actually nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize in the 60s by Martin Luther King Jr., protesting the war in Vietnam, and then he started this community and monastery outside of Bordeaux. But I read a lot of his books. I just think it's really interesting, more from a mind-body perspective, but I can't wait to read Aaron's.
I know.
But I want to interject, because exactly what Sonia is building is really the future of how I think beauty products are being positioned, right? So before it was, use this lipstick because it's going to make you look pretty, and, you know, or use this perfume, your partner will love it. Whereas now you're focusing more on like, what are the root causes right. of having these conditions, and what are the solutions that each individual can, you know, do for themselves. And the number one thing that we did a beta test of my Follow Should Feel Better. The number one thing that they asked for was non-doctor requiring, non-prescription requiring solutions. Mm. So help us help ourselves. And I think people like Sonia sharing her story about she had Hashimoto's, and that it's not just about like, oh, here's your nighttime cream routine, right? Like, this is something that is going after these root causes of your problem. This is the new wave. And this is what people are interested in, and this is what they're looking for. So I'm so proud to be so like early. And I hate that I'm not that type of influencer, right? I'm like, oh, I'm an educational influencer. But I will say that I used Verdois for 2 days and I am glowing. If you cannot see on this
thank
podcast,
you, Aaron. You're
but
so
it really
sweet.
Is absolutely incredible. And I love the feel of it. I'm obsessed already.
Thank you, Aaron.
I'm so sweet.
Much.
This is what this show is all about, bringing people together. Okay, last question before we move into our game. So we heard about Sonia's books that she turns to. Other than Writing Your Own, is there something that's on your bedside table that you just either for business or wellness that just inspires you?
So when the literary agents asked me what books I read, I said, does Us Weekly count? I am not a book reader. As I said, I am chronically online. And yeah, for me, I get a lot of my information from short form video. Mm-hmm. I spend more and more time on TikTok. When I first started TikTok, you know, like, oh, that like dancing kids platform. and TikTok is not a dancing kids platform. TikTok is an information sharing platform. And so I love like podcast snippets on mm-hmm. on TikTok. I love, actually, I feel like I know about all the books from Book Talk mm-hmm. and everything. But yeah, I think I am just a video girl.
Sarah, what's the book that you recommended to me that's about negotiating?
Never Split the Difference by Chris Hawes.
Okay, so that's what I'm turning to next.
I have that. I haven't read it yet. Oh, okay. I should read it. It's on my shelf.
Maybe we can book club it together. Okay, we're going to move into our game. So since you're both at the beginning of your journeys, we thought it'd be really fun to play along with entrepreneurial journey and TikTok trends, right? So we're going to give you a this and that, two options, and you'll tell us what you would choose for your brand. So if this is the story of the day that you're going to sit down and make content about, which one are you going to choose? So Sonia, we'll start with you. Are you going to choose to collaborate with an influencer or promote a customer testimonial?
Promote a customer testimonial.
Tell me why.
I just believe word of mouth is trust, and I think that's why I'm so inspired by what Aaron's building too. Mm-hmm. It's just more important, I think, to understand what someone really believes and thinks. So we have reviews built into our email system as well.
And this is basically the Feel Better platform, right?
I mean, the thesis at Feel Better is every user is an influencer, mm-hmm. and especially when it comes to your health, if you are a woman with Hashimoto's, there's no one you trust more than another woman with Hashimoto's.
Mm-hmm. Second, this or that, how-to tutorials by sharing insightful tips, or are you going to add the hashtag women in STEM?
how-to tutorials. I mean, Erin's the expert at all this. How-to tutorials for sure. I think people want to see, and I think people want to dig, kind of, I guess, be dropped into someone else's routine. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I think being authentic online, and to your point about customers being influencers, I think everyone is influential in their own way. So understanding how a product is used, what's the best use case, I think that goes back to the experience of, you know, how people use the product, how they integrate it into their routine. Mm-hmm. I think all of that's really important.
Erin?
Yeah, a lot of younger doctors will ask me who are interested in starting social media, and they'll say, like, how did you, you know, get all these followers? How do you, you know, make a viral video? And I tell them, it's not about what I want to say, it's what about they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So I really kind of put myself in the mind frame of the follower and the user. And people are like, oh, do you have to post at this time and on this day and use this hashtag and this trending sound? No. When people ask, and actually this is a quote from Mr. Beast, but people ask him all the time, how do I get more views? How do I get more likes? And he goes, the question you should be asking me is, how do I make the best video?
Mm-hmm. Okay, number three, pack an order with me or an ASMR trending sound video. We'll start with you, Erin.
I'm always going to go with the storytelling mm-hmm. aspect, so definitely like pack an order with mm-hmm. me, because people want to see the process. Right. And I think that's, and even, you know, in my case, I'm building an app.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about the conversations that I'm having. And I think it's helpful for them to see, you know, everything, like hear about the stories where investors were like, no, I don't think there's a market, you know, for women's health, or I don't think it's, yeah, I always delve into the storytelling aspect.
Well, you can pack a book and send it to me and make a video because yes. I'd like to read this yes. book.
I think definitely pack an order. I think the building in public thing I'm still struggling with. I'm trying to understand how forward I want to be personally
mm-hmm.
Building the brand. And obviously we have kind of this familial legacy that's really important. But I think I love pack an order with me ASMR version. So I think I'd say both.
Oh.
And for those who can't see again, because we are on a podcast, but Sonia looks like if you open the dictionary to like chic French girl.
Oh my gosh, sweet.
That is her. So, and I always, you know, encourage people, like, you are the face of your company, right? Your story is the story of your company. So lean into it.
You're gonna do great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, next scenario, a day in the life, see how the company owners spend each day. We just talked about that a little bit, or a green screen glow up explainer. We'll start with you, Erin.
Ooh, I do love a green screen. I'm usually doing green screen on top of medical research articles. Mm-hmm. And what I like to do is I will explain it, you know, in kind of layman's term.
Mm-hmm.
So I use that a lot. And again, because my platform is meant to educate, support, and provide solutions. So any way I can do any one of those three things, I'm going to go. And the green screen is just fun to do.
What about you, Sonia?
What was the first one?
A day in the life, see how the company owner spends your day.
Day in the life, I think, is really important. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's funny. People really want to see the behind the scenes. And I think it's people mostly see the end result and they don't really see all the hard work behind it. And mm-hmm. I think it's really important to do that and share a little bit more. I'm at my desk 90% mm-hmm. of the time. I think that's also why I don't do many day in the lives, because it's, you know, you have to put in the work, I think, traditionally. Mm-hmm. And you can see all the fun stuff. I did a day in the life. A week in the life when my last trip to New York, which was really fun, but that's not the reality of my everyday. My everyday is I'm pretty much at my desk making calls.
Okay, last this or that, transformation before and afters or satisfying videos like mushrooms growing in the dark.
Before and afters. I'm really proud of our clinicals personally, so I'm personalizing this totally, but we, you know, have an incredible results to make your skin soft, supple, and strong over time while being able to really increase hydration internally. internally and externally, and wrap that with some beautiful medicinal mushrooms that are functional and helpful. So I am always going to go with clinicals. Our products are made in France. We have incredible dermatologists, herbalists, and mycologists that we worked with. And we also have our farm, I didn't say this, but we have our farm where we source our mushrooms as well. And really creating our own proprietary extract about that. It's, you know, we're putting a little moat around it.
Oh, a moat.
So yeah, I'm super excited.
I think this is the first time somebody's told me about their moat on the yeah, show. Sorry. And I have almost 300 episodes. That's very cool. Erin, transformation before and afters, or these satisfying videos of, you know, maybe like things happening in super speed or something?
My videos are very simple and easy. So probably the first one, just because I don't have great like editing skills. But I will say for Sonia, there are certain like cheat codes. Like even yesterday, I have a video that has, I think, 1.5 million views because I talked about pets, including pets in healthcare. Like that's just a cheat. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think for her, the visuals of those mushrooms growing. And true. I told this story that my daughter, we went to some, you know, farm, and there was a little, it was like grow a mushroom out of a box. And I just, you'd like put it on the windowsill, and I don't even think we did anything to it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it just exploded with mushrooms. There's like hundreds and hundreds of mushrooms all over the place. So I think you have like a great visual.
You're right. You're right. So I need virtual. You. Thank you.
Okay. So we found out that Sonia's parents were late to finding out that this was actually like a business that she pursued for 1 year. What do your kids think of you being on TikTok? This is what we need to know, right?
I think my daughter was like, I thought you cut people, you know? She's like, but you're just sitting, you know, like in the office. And a really funny story was when I first started on TikTok, and I was still seeing, I had a heavy patient load and doing a lot of other things. I made all of my content from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Okay, like every day. And that's what, so that was the time that I had, and that's when I did it. And at one point, my husband like came into the room, and he goes, please just tell me you're not doing OnlyFans. There I go. No, I'm making healthcare educational videos. So yes, I mean, you know, the whole, you know, social media aspect is it's a you know, it's definitely a pivot, but it is probably just as, if not more, rewarding at being able to help people at scale. And I probably, the number one comment that I get on my videos is thank you. And I have had people stop me in the street and hug me and say, you know, thank you so much. I get messages every day saying, because of you, I felt empowered to get a diagnosis of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Because of you, I demanded that my, you know, my daughter get this test, proved she had, you know, endometriosis. So it's really been incredibly rewarding for me. And I think that it's kind of goes back to that magic that we have at like why doctors went into this in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like you went into it to help others. And in the system that we're working in now, we don't have that magic anymore. We do not have that spark. And I really feel getting back to the basics, right? The word doctor is from, I think, the Greek word docere, which is to teach. And if we reposition ourselves like as, you know, the source of health information, I think like that's the place where we're supposed to live.
What a beautiful way to end this conversation. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Where Brains Meet Beauty with Jodi Katz. Tune in again for more authentic conversations with beauty leaders.